Dakota Utilities, in the community to serve.
I was ready to make a change.
I was ready to be healthier.
I was ready to get help, so I called.
When you're ready to quit tobacco, we'll be ready. Enrolling in Wyoming Quit Tobacco's no-cost program is proven to be 3 times more effective than going it alone. For free patches and gum or to speak with a certified quit coach, visit quitwyo.org or call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Brought to you by the Wyoming Department of Health, paid for by tobacco settlement funds.
Here in Wyoming, your roof better be tougher than the weather. At Branded 307 Roofing, we install commercial purlin-bearing roofing, residential metal roofs, and standing seam systems, built to handle hail, wind, snow, and whatever else the bighorns can throw at it. Metal roofing is up for the challenge. Whether it's home, shop, ranch, or commercial building, we build roofs that last, with craftsmanship that's built different. No shortcuts, no excuses, just quality roofing, period. Call us today, Branded 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
This 4th of July, the spirit of America's 250th stampedes into Buffalo for the biggest birthday bash in Wyoming. The Red, White, and West 250, honoring America's 250th anniversary with a night of pure country grit featuring Cole Goodwin. From Nashville to the heart of the Bighorns, Cole is bringing that red dirt honky-tonk, including his latest single, Howdy.
Been waiting internally, debating, I finally worked up the nerve.
It's more than a concert. It's a celebration of the land we love. Get your tickets now at wyotheater.com. And if you're a local business wanting to be part of the action, we're looking for food trucks and artisans to join the celebration. Secure your spot on Vendors Row today by contacting the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce. Don't wait. Get your tickets now for the Red, White, and West 250 with Cole Goodwin. Sponsored by the Johnson County 250 Committee, the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce, and your home for real country 93.7 The Coyote.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, June 1st. From the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning we are joined by the Hub on Smith Executive Director, Dustin Stevens. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. How are you, man? It's good to be back.
Great. I really enjoyed the rain over the weekend.
Yeah, I wasn't sad about it. My goats didn't like it, but everything else was great.
How many goats you got?
Well, now we have 6 in the backyard.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, you want one? Because we have about 6 too many. So,
you know, it's one of those situations where you buy one.
Mm-hmm.
And one just seems to multiply.
It does. You know, what's funny is I used to be an animal freak, and I am. I love my dog. I love my animals. I love stuff like that. And my wife was the opposite. And just recently, the past 2 months, things have changed. She got one goat. Then she got two. Now we have 6. Now we have 2 sheep and a cat and 3 rabbits and a dog. I'm like, we're running a little ranch. It's ridiculous.
You sound like my dad.
Yeah.
That's what happened to him.
I can't win.
can't even stay ahead of it.
I can't.
Come home to a new one all the time.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
How have you been?
Good. Really good. You know, what's funny is there has been a lot. Yeah. And I tell people this, and I might have said this last time. I don't remember. But it's one of those things is coming into the hub and coming into kind of a whole new realm of things. I was like, okay, I know I'm going to drink from a fire hose, right? I know it. But then I realize I'm drinking from like 7 different fire hoses because it's mm-hmm. so many different programs that are so individualized and so amazing that I have to learn each and every one of those. And so it's not just one fire hose. It's so many coming at me at one time. It's great. I absolutely love it because the programs are amazing, but it's one of those, like, there's a big learning curve there, and it's pretty awesome to get on board with it.
Is everything so kind of departmentalized that you meet with each individual, or do you like to have like the big muster? We all come together. We all talk together.
Well, it's a both and, because each program, like Goose Creek Transit, is nothing like Help at Home.
Yeah.
But they're so intertwined at the same time with the same people and the same clients. And it's weird because they can feel siloed, but they're also interwoven at the same time. So it's really a both and, which is actually a beautiful thing because it is so intertwined and you have the same people and all this. It's complicated, yet simple at the same time.
Yeah.
Just the people you're serving, the way you're going about it. So yeah, I love bringing everybody together. And we've been doing a lot more. I got a new director of operations. I hired a new director of operations, Nick Little, there. And we've got to have him on sometime. He's just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And he is charging hard at doing a lot of the operational side of things. And he loves bringing these programs together and meeting in the same room and figuring things out, like our family caregiver program with Help at Home. They have a lot of the same clients. So he's like, well, also Dementia Friendly does too. So let's put these all in the room and see what we can come up with and how we can collaborate and figure out things and make things better. I'm like, dude, let's go. That's so great. Like I'm on cloud nine with everything that's happening. So it's pretty awesome.
That's good to hear. Last time we spoke, you had recently been named the ED mm-hmm. of the Hub on Smith.
Yep.
Now you got some road under your tires. What have you learned about the Hub, the yeah. people, and the area that you may not have known when you took that on?
Yeah. You know, I've heard a lot of there. It's kind of a twofold answer with that. One of the things for that is I didn't realize all that the Hub did until I got really involved. Like I would come and I would hang out every once in a while. I mean, I worked at the church and then VOA and then now at the Hub. And so I knew a little bit of things. I didn't realize everything that the Hub does. Mm-hmm. Like people are like, oh, the Help at Home, that's a part of the Hub, or Goose Creek Transit, that's the Hub does that, or I didn't realize the intricacies of all the different things that the Hub does until I got in there and really got my feet in. I'm like, man, this thing touches every part of the community in these beautiful ways. And that was one of the big things that I've learned over the past couple of months. I've only been there for 7-8 months now. Yeah. So it's still fresh, still new. And the second answer to that question really is, you know, you kind of touched on it, is the people. We have our newsletter, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a little bit. It just came out and I wrote a piece in there that talks about one of the things that the Hub is about people. And what made me realize that is we had our volunteer appreciation just a little bit ago. And then we had an all staff meeting where we brought all the staff together. And I realized sitting there and giving awards to the volunteers and the staff and recognizing people. And it was just an awesome moment. I look over at one of our volunteers that got an award and there's just tears rolling down his face. And I just was like, oh man, that is exactly what it's about. This isn't even talking about patrons mm-hmm. and the people that come to the Hub and get services that their lives are changed. We're talking about volunteers and staff. And I'm like, it's the people. The people make the difference in this community. The people make the difference at the Hub. And I truly am really seeing that day in and day out. And it's been an amazing thing. So that getting the tires warm on that vehicle going down the road, I really feel like we really lean on our people a lot. And that's what makes the Hub what it is.
One thing, when it went through its rebranding, mm-hmm. they wanted to make the Hub much more of a community as mm-hmm. opposed to a senior center.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that?
Yeah, we absolutely are. And you know what's funny is we're connected right there to Whitney Commons, right to the park, and there's all sorts of ages that come in and out and all this. And one of the things is, as you well know, as a military guy, the movies don't tell the real story.
Yeah.
And it comes to military and war and things like that. It's the same thing for senior centers. You think senior centers in a movie, it's people in a wheelchair in a corner and it's boring and there's cobwebs on the walls and it's terrible.
It's a game of ping pong going
exactly.
on in the back, maybe.
Yeah, and it's like the most dull thing ever. And it's not. It's a live, happening place. Like, especially like Tuesdays and Fridays, we have bingo. Don't mess with bingo. They're crazy about their bingo. And it's funny, as we want these people, and I've met so many young people too, coming in and bringing their grandparents in. And that's what we want. Bring your grandparents in, bring your parents in, come hang out with them, have a meal with them. Or if you don't even have the parents or grandparents to come in, trust me, there are people that will hang out with you and sit and talk with you and tell you stories. And it's an amazing thing to see these people come in and out of these doors. And so, yeah, we're kind of seeing all of the above. Obviously the large, vast majority of our patrons are seniors, and that's obviously our goal. We're a senior center. That's what we do. But it is fun to see the younger generations come in and hang out and play bingo and volunteer and do all these things. We have, I think, 342 volunteers now.
Wow.
Incredible. I mean, it blows my mind at the people that come in and out of those doors of all ages. It's pretty amazing.
And I always think about the intergenerational communication mm-hmm. that's going on in there. You know, I lost my grandparents pretty early. Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of getting how they grew up mm-hmm. a bit secondhand from, you know,
my father, who's getting up there in age himself. I mean, the man's 81 years old. But being able to sit down and hear things about my grandparents that I just, man, I did not know. I
had no clue.
And it's such a stark difference compared to how they came up. Great Depression, you know, and I still see, I guess you could say, echoes of their, how they came up and the things that they had to do being fed down through the generations, through my father to me, and now, you know, on to my daughter. When I'm telling her these stories of, you know, compared to your grandparents, we live in abundance.
Oh, we are, yeah.
You know.
It's and cush.
It's, yeah, it's pretty cush. Yeah. But it's just really fascinating to think that, you know, maybe some high school kids have volunteered to go down there and bust some tables, and they're stopping and listening to these stories that seem so otherworldly.
It does.
To them.
It really does. You know what's funny? I get caught up sometimes in my office on budget and this and that the days in and days out. And I forget sometimes. All I have to do is walk out and go to the lunch area or the exercise room or the art room and sit for 5 minutes and just hear a couple of stories, and I'm completely refreshed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is what it's about. And for somebody to come volunteer, even if it's for 5 minutes, come wrap some silverware or something, come play ping pong for a few minutes or play pool or whatever it may be. It's refreshing. It's hard to explain in words what it does to your mind and heart when you go in there and just sit for a few minutes or just walk by and say, hey, how are you doing? And they just light up. Well, there's young persons talking to me, and this is awesome, and I can't wait to do it again. And we have a table during bingo of these ladies, and they always sit. They have their table,
right?
And they have their bingo cards. They put their sticker on it so they know which card is theirs. And they call themselves the Crazy Eights.
Nice,
and
I
it
like
is,
that.
Is so accurate. They're so they're so loud and fun, and they love bingo, and they. They actually told me I'm not allowed to come around anymore during bingo because I'm bad luck. Every time I showed up, they wouldn't win. And so I have to show up after bingo or before it and make sure I say hi and everything. But that stuff, it just refills your cup. It's one of those, like, you can get inundated with all the day in and day outs, but you walk out there for 5 minutes and it's just like, it's the best feeling.
And after everything that you've done in your life, the service that you've provided to the church, your own military experience, what does that tell you about purpose and I guess our need for purpose? And I'm sure everybody in the world has that, but there is something very specific about veterans and purpose and having that. I'm getting up for this. I'm going to help them.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose.
Well, you know, it after military service, a lot of guys deal with this, and this is like a deep psychological thing, I'm sure, that I have no clue about. But after your service, and you get out and you go home, and you're like, well, now what?
Now what?
What am I good for? What do I do? I tried several different things coming out of the service. I tried the for-profit world, and it was just not it, because it was just about money, about this. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I can't do that.
It's all about that red and black.
It's all about the red and black. Mm-hmm. And it didn't fit well. I'm like, I'm not serving. I'm not doing what I feel like I need to be doing, that heart behind it. And so that's when I joined the church. And then we moved overseas and lived as missionaries in Haiti for 5 years. And then we came back, and then I was pastor at a church here in Sheridan, and then worked at the VOA. And I'm like, I'm never leaving the nonprofit sector in any way, shape, or form to be able to serve people and fill that purpose that we were kind of ingrained with in the military side of things. Yeah. It makes sense to continue that path down this way. And so I love it. I'm not going anywhere. So,
and the reward being,
oh man,
the laughing crazy.
Yeah.
The seeing the volunteers sit and speak with seniors. I mean, yeah, that would be very refilling.
Yeah. I feel like I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And I mean, like after everything, I'm like, oh man, I don't deserve this. Why am I here? And
I feel that way about the show.
Yeah. Whereas, isn't it crazy how that works?
I don't deserve this.
But that's why I'm going to keep driving. I'm going to keep going because it's more than worth it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to describe into words, but yeah, it's more than worth it for sure.
And gives you great purpose.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
Let's talk about some of those programs and the highlights at the Hubs. What were some of the highlights from the Hubs programs and services during our fiscal year last year?
Yeah, we got a lot of those numbers back, and it's pretty amazing. And I can go through a lot of those for like our home-delivered meals. We had 71,000 home delivered meals last fiscal year.
That's an incredible amount.
And that doesn't even include the meals in on site, which were about 40,000 meals on site. And so we had 110 plus meals served last year. I'm like, I can't even fat Kevin and who runs the kitchen and Rick and those guys. I mean, just absolutely amazing. We served over 3,300 older adults at the center this past year. And it's just an incredible, incredible number. When you think about the percentage of older adults in Sheridan, like that's huge. And 25%+ of older adults around. And so we had 20,000 fun wellness experiences.
Wow.
So all these events and things I'm sure we'll talk about here in a minute, you know, our loan closet that gives out wheelchairs and loans, all those things and toilets and all that stuff. 1,600 things were given out last year, were loaned out last year.
1,600
things were distributed.
Wow.
It's hard to fathom the numbers once you see them. Like, are these for real?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
That'd be like more than 100 things a month heading out that door.
Yeah. And it, you know, what's funny is every time I walk out there's stuff coming back in and stuff going back out. Every single time I walk out into the lobby,
it never looks empty.
Never.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. It is, you know, the hub is a pretty accurate name. It is the place perfectly placed in the city. It is the hub that everybody goes in and out of and comes through and is involved with and has somebody that's in there, somebody they know or themselves have been involved with. And so it's always a hopping place for sure. And that doesn't even include Goose Creek Transit, because that's kind of over on this side of town. And we had over 63,000 rides given last year. And so I'm like, it is hard to comprehend some of these numbers sometimes. Yeah. Our help at home program, we served 172 clients for help at home. And that's our CNAs and nurses and LPNs going into these people's homes to keep them safely at home, to keep them out of institutionalized care. I mean, that's day in and day out, all day long. 5 days a week going in and out of these homes and doing some incredible stuff or Daybreak. Daybreak's a big program that a lot of people don't know, where you can drop off your older adult, get some respite or go to work or do whatever it is. And they hang out, they have a blast. The building over there with pool tables. They watch some amazing shows. Wheel of Fortune, of course, right?
of course,
because you have to do that. And there's some awesome old Westerns that they watch over there. I think there were 8,500 hours of respite given last year just through Daybreak alone. And so like amazing, amazing programs with these incredible numbers. And we have space and capacity to continue going, which is great.
And we're going to talk about some more programs after we come back. More with the Hub on Smith. When we return, you're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. At 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Get ready, Sheridan. The first annual Sheridan YO Sports Cards Card Show is coming to town. Join us on Saturday, June 6th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Caleb Shrine at 145 West Laux. With 30 tables packed full of sports cards, sealed wax, TCG gaming cards, and collectibles all under one roof. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, or trade, you'll find more than 30 vendors ready to make a deal. Don't miss the biggest card show to ever hit Sheridan, Wyoming. Saturday, June 6th at the Caleb Shrine. Be there.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors. If you're looking for a trailer, we've got a great selection on the lot right now. Horse trailers, heavy-duty flatbeds, cargoes, and dump trailers. Whether you're hauling livestock, equipment, or your toys, these trailers are built for real Wyoming work. Stop by and see what just came in and find the trailer that fits your rig and your job. Prime Rate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
Wyoming has a real choice for Congress. We can send another politician to Washington, or we can send Frank Chapman, a rancher, a businessman. Frank knows a thing or two about balancing a checkbook. Frank's no politician. He's a conservative fighter for people like us. Frank Chapman for Congress.
Frank Chapman lives Wyoming values. Hard work, straight talk, and Frank's never backed down from a fight. Chapman is a rancher, a father, not a politician. Frank Chapman is the conservative we need in Congress. That's why conservative groups like CPAC have endorsed Chapman.
I am blessed in that God put me in a place where I could succeed.
Frank Chapman is the fighter we need in Congress.
Frank Chapman, Wyoming rancher, American businessman. He'll seal the border, back our ICE agents, unleash American energy, defend your Constitution, and make America great again. Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming. Fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting with Hubbon Smith Executive Director, Dustin Stevens. Now, we've talked about some of the great things that happened in 2025. Mm. Let's talk about some of the great things happening in 2026.
Yeah.
One thing is how, let's start it off with how someone can actually jump online and learn more.
Yeah.
About the programs, because it is so diverse. There is so much happening at the Hub. Where can we kind of keep track of all this?
So at the Hub, Sheridan.org is where kind of everything is housed. One of the cool things we have on there is at the very top of the front page on the left side, they always keep rotating events on there that are coming up in the next week or two. And so there's always something on there you can see. One of the cool things that I want to make sure I highlight that I would love your listeners to go check out is on that same homepage, there's our newsletter. It's called Center Stage. And our crew, Ryan Koltiska and Ashley and Christy, and frankly, everybody has a hand in this, in touching it. Each one of our programs writes their own little section. And it's pretty amazing to see it come together, but it's our newsletter. And kind of what happens on it is Christy, our community life coordinator, who is essentially in charge of fun and wellness. What a fun job, right?
Bro,
like
yeah.
just get to coordinate fun things. She put together a great, great summer lineup of activities and events and all these things, that learning opportunities, creative classes, games, services, activities for people to keep active, things like that. And that is on the center stage. So it's essentially through August, or I believe it is. Yeah. Through August. And it just shows a list of all, not everything, but a pretty extensive list of all the things that are happening over the summer. And that's a beautiful thing to go in and see, because there's an electronic version of it that you can just click on the main page of the website, click on Center Stage, flip through it and see what that is, or come into the Hub. The front desk has the physical copy. I'm a physical copy person.
Yeah, so am I.
Like,
yeah.
I'm the guy, like, I got to print it out. I got to have it in front of me. I got to see it, touch it, feel it, smell it, all that stuff. And so, yeah, that we have the physical copies there at the front desk at the Hub as well. So come grab one of those and just check out the events and read a few stories and what's going on. And that's a great source to see what's happening around the Hub.
Now, and some individuals might not be from the area. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're vacationing.
Sure.
But they want to stay active.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they want to take part in something like Happy Feet Cardio Dance or something like that.
Yeah, those are fun.
But they're not, quote unquote, members.
Mm-hmm.
Can someone just kind of pop in, take a class or hang out for a bit, enjoy an activity like this, and then pop out?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. The more the merrier, the more people we have there, the merrier type thing. And it's one of those, if they're going to come multiple times, we want them to register so we can take account for them and this and that. And we may have them write down a little bit of information, but yeah, they're welcome to come take a class and come hang out with us. And we have people come visit all the time, even with their family that don't live here, and they'll pop in and have a meal or take a class or play ping pong with them or whatever it may be. We love that.
Okay. That's one thing that I was wondering, because a lot of times we'll get some folks in and there seems to be like this, all those who play it, but the way that I look at it is like a pickleball circuit.
Mm-hmm.
People who will take vacations and go on this kind of circuit of great places to play pickleball.
Yep.
And we've kind of joined that little circle of people.
I did not.
A lot
know
of
that.
Folks like to play pickleball around here.
That's so a big deal.
Yeah, it really is. And so I've always kind of wondered, when you're not playing pickleball, what else is there to do?
Yeah.
Pop into the Hub.
Pop into the Hub, grab a meal, join an event, get one of the classes. I mean, we have ping pong, which is like a pickleball on a table, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. What's funny, you got to be careful with the people that are there. They're very unassuming. It's like the Crazy Eights table. I mean, they, like you go there and you watch them play ping pong. They invited me to play ping pong several times. I'm like, no, there's no way. They will whoop me. These guys, they just stand there and make it look so effortless, and I'm sweating and I got beads of sweat dripping down my back. I'm like, I'm never playing these guys. It's they're insanely good.
They know what they're doing. They're
like, oh no, we'll take it easy on you. No, they won't.
No, they won't.
No, they won't. Or the guys that play pool. The pool is a pool tables are a big deal there. We got several of them at the hub and one over at Daybreak. And yeah, that's a big deal as well for a lot of those guys and gals that come there.
And I'm glad that you brought those up because those are just little activities that can pop in, spend 15, 20 minutes hanging out. I'm not committed to a big hour long thing.
Right.
I can just pop in and kind of learn as I go, just real quick little bites. And then all of a sudden, man, I want to go to that. You know, you get bit by that bug.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things that I did want to touch on are classes, presentations that you'll be giving in the near future. Mm-hmm. I have the sheriff on here quite regularly. Mm-hmm. We speak about scams, internet scams, things like that, that really target our senior population. Mm-hmm. Whether that be because, you know, it's because of the heart. That's what they really try to hit. Mm-hmm. You guys are going to be given some upcoming presentations or courses on that.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of those presentations that we do throughout the year for that. And so we have a variety of different people coming in. Even the police station comes in, you know, press comes in, and all these different people come in and teach these classes. And a lot of them are pretty amazing. Internet safety is a big deal. Because they can, man, you click on one thing and you're done.
Oh yeah.
Right. They have your number, they have your information, they'll call you or whatever it may be. Or they call you and say, hey, sign in and click this thing for me and we can get into your bank account or whatever it may be. And I watched a show on scammers, things like that from overseas and all these things. And in the I think it was 85%, I could be wrong on that, it was like 85% of their people that they scam are older adults.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's it's sad to me, first of all, but it's one of those, the more information we can get out as the hub when our patrons are that age, man, the better off we'll be. And we have all these new scams that come in all the time, and we see the police post them on Facebook and things like that. And we have them come in, and a lot of the police officers get to come in, one or two of them on stage up there in our meal room. And they'll have a presentation and say, hey, look out for this, because this is what's popular right now. And which is, I mean, just fantastic information.
Absolutely.
I mean, I go in there and I learn. So
yeah,
it's great stuff for everybody, but especially our seniors for sure.
Now, that's a regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if they check that, the schedule online, they'll be able to jump in there. And that might be something, folks, that you want to go in, as often as you can.
Yeah.
You know, get in there, educate yourselves on these new scams. The sheriff's always bringing me new stuff every week. The PD brings me stuff. They're very clever. They know what to gun for and who to gun for.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of seeing, you know, our population and everyone lose any money to these bad actors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other summer programs, what would you like folks to know about staying involved with the hub this summer? Because you've got activities like the boot flick-off, which is different from the kickoff, right?
Yep, it's a little different.
Things like that come up throughout the summer. How can we stay up to date, stay informed?
Yeah, our biggest thing right now is if you want the schedule for the summer, come get the newsletter and write down those dates, because there's dates, times, how to get involved, who to reach, who to contact, how to do it. That's our biggest thing right now, is that newsletter. And you can, again, online, in person, whatever that may be, which is a pretty easy way to get in contact with that. But also our Facebook page. There's things posting on our Facebook page all the time about activities and events, and we create events so people can see them on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook, a lot of the older generation is, which is, you know, I have
hands
one.
Up. Yep.
And I love it. It keeps us up to date on a lot of those things. And we have a new Goose Creek Transit Facebook page. So if people haven't liked that, go like and share that around, because that gives the schedule of Goose Creek on, you know, holidays or whatever it may be, or things are happening. There's a lot of updates on there as well. So Facebook, internet, in person, our newsletter. There's so many ways to figure those things out. So just start clicking on things or come by.
All right.
Yeah.
I've run out of time with you, my friend. Yeah. I want to thank you so much.
That goes by so quick, man.
It does. It flies by.
Yeah.
But I greatly appreciate you.
Thank you so
in.
Much, Floyd. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys coming in here. And the services that you provide people are services that you can't get anywhere else. Yeah. And so I greatly appreciate
that. Thank you very much. I have a newsletter and a fiscal year stat sheet that I'm giving you before I leave today. So
greatly appreciate it, my friend. All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the museum at the Bighorns. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Dr. Frackleton would be the first one to tell you that a good lunch is a foundation of a good day. But he'd also tell you that there's lunch and then there's lunch. And Frackleton's brings it every time. The best food in Sheridan, friendly faces, and a menu that's got something for any kind of hungry. Join us for lunch from 11 to 2 Thursday through Saturday. Good meal done right. Blue ribbon portions, real flavor, and at Frackleton's atmosphere you already know. Lunch at Frackleton's just makes your whole day better. Book your table early at Frackleton's.com.
Doug, is there a season in Wyoming when vehicles are actually clean?
Nope, just winter and construction season.
My truck looks like it wrestled a bison.
Then it's time for the detail shop at Waring Chevrolet.
They can fix mud?
Interior, exterior, full professional detail.
Even the mud behind the mud?
Especially the mud.
My truck might actually have a color.
That's detailing the Waring way.
The kind that keeps people coming back.
Schedule your detail today. Call the Waring Detail Shop at 673-6794 or at 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Sheridan Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
Strong businesses start with skilled people. The Workforce Development Training Fund can reimburse Wyoming employers for training investments, strengthening businesses and Wyoming's workforce at the same time. Train smarter, grow stronger. Visit dws.wyo.gov/WDTF. That's dws.wyo.gov/WDTF. This message sponsored by Wyoming Department of Workforce Services, Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Hi, Sheridan. Summer fun is back at Sheridan College. This is Jessica Pickett inviting your 2nd through 8th grader to College for Kids, July 6th through the 9th from 8 until noon. It's 4 days of tie-dye, creative cooking, sports, and tons of fun. Spots are limited, so don't wait. Register today by emailing SheridanCollegeForKids@gmail.com. That's SheridanCollegeForKids@gmail.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and for our second part this morning, we are joined by the museum at the Bighorns director, Carrie Ida Ettinger, and operations director, Chip King. Good morning and welcome back, both.
Wow, the full name. Wow.
Good morning.
She put it in there. I figured that's what you liked. So I threw it in.
Glad my full name's out of there.
Man, mine too. My initials, by the time you actually spell them out, are few, and that's hurtful.
That's why.
My little brothers are so, as in to sew something. So, well, the museum has free admission right now. That's something that I really wanted to get up for everybody to know. That's incredible.
Yes, it's a generous gift from the Scott Family Foundation. We have free admission till August 31st, and this gives the opportunity for the community to come and see our exhibits throughout the summer, which help acknowledge the 150th anniversary of the Battle of the Little Bighorn, plus the 250th America Celebration. as well. That's kind of what our exhibits touch on this year.
Have you guys had a lot of folks coming through?
It's been really good. It really has. You know, numbers are just, I mean, they're growing really every week. I look at them every week just to kind of see what we're doing. And yeah, numbers are really positive. A lot of traffic through, a lot of people looking at the books and stuff like that. So it's been, foot traffic's been good.
Now, Carrie, when it comes to the environment itself, we're pretty much all set up, good to go. What's left to do?
Oh, well, the display cabinets, and then 2027, by spring, we'll have our permanent 6 exhibit spaces. So we're still building out the exhibit. That is the last part of the expansion project, if you will, the move into the building for upstairs.
How does that feel, being able to sit in there and be open and have folks come back through?
It's very good to be open to the community. All last year, we did it in phases, which some days feel longer than others, as you know. But it's good to see people come into the museum, good to see them do the scavenger hunt, sit down and do activities in the lobby, have comments. Yeah.
Now, for folks who may not know, what exhibits and programs are available for visitors in the 2026 season?
Sure. Currently, we have up Transition of the Landscape, which are 1926 photos by Jesmond Spear Johnson. She attended the 50th anniversary of the Battle of the Little Bighorn, and they had a ranch in Kirby, Montana. So these are photos of our regional tribe members that attended the anniversary, and also activities and landmarks and signage. We kind of, you know, go through the evolution of historical spots with those photos. We also have Voices and Votes, the Smithsonian Traveling Exhibit, which is up to June 13th. So get to the museum in the next 2 weeks to see it. And then it will travel down to Cheyenne to the State Museum. This touches on American democracy through the ages and the transition of the vote and the populations who have gained the vote through our process of democracy. Then in July 2nd, where it's busy, we have All American Indian Days, 1953 to 1984. This is a special Sheridan history of All American Indian Days events. We will touch on how All American Indian Days started in 1953, and part of that is Lucy Yellowmule winning the 1951-52 Wyo Rodeo Queen, and they had their own events, Miss Indian America pageant, and it was something that was part of Sheridan's early August schedule of summer events for a long time. I have 4 to 5 previous Miss Indian Americas who are temporarily loaning us personal items for exhibit. We have 2 teepees up. We'll show 1953 footage of one of the parades. Been working hard to get access to a lot of these little tidbits of this time frame of Sheridan's history. Yes.
I don't want to get too far off in the toolies with it, but how do you collect stuff like that? If you decide, you know what, we're going to put this on display, and I know the museum has a fantastic collection, but there is a lot of stuff out there you have to kind of seek out. How do you get all that together?
Well,
phone calls and emails.
Yes. Right now it's temporary loan, and I'm not pushing things for the collection. It's to get this big exhibit together because it has to cover the whole space. I have lots of community contacts who are very generous with their time that help me with making these initial contacts. And yes, as Chip says, I do a lot of communications, email, phone calls. Do you want to come see the space? What do you want to know? Because also it's a new space. We're trying to get back in the community. I do a lot of legwork.
I imagine
it's a part of my job.
While she's out there doing the legwork,
yes.
Chip, you're down there running the shop. How are things going down there?
Really good. Really good. We've got, we've got one desk person who has moved on to a new job. We've got You know, we've got a really good crew down there, though, that that are, you know, ready to meet and greet the people and walk them through. Like Carrie said, 13th, that's the last for the Smithsonian show. And, you know, the two shows then that are going to go up in July. And want to emphasize the museum is not going to close during that. So, you know, pop in and maybe see a little, you know, behind the scenes, putting up exhibits and stuff like that. So,
Yes.
taking down and putting up. So, but foot traffic through the store has been strong, and foot traffic to go in and see to see the two exhibits has been strong. So it's been a really good transition for us. It really has.
And I think it's such a fantastic exhibit to have. I think all of it together. I mean, it's really all kind of meshed into our own local patriotism. Yes. And responsibility of being a citizen of this United States, and being able to go through and look at the history of that and how especially a certain demographic had to fight to get to be part of that whole thing. I think it's absolutely amazing. One question I did want to ask you real quick, though. What happened in the Sheridan region in 1876?
Well,
and how is this, and how is this connected?
Well, there was many battles, and as you know, it was our area is kind of the last of the Indian hunting grounds, and all the transitions with the settlement of our area. We had the Rosebud Battle, the Battle of the Little Bighorn. Geez, we could talk about this for hours.
And the bloody Boston,
I'm like skimming the surface here.
It's such a great history, though,
so much has happened within our region. Even the little skirmishes are, you know, acknowledged. Crook's Camp.
The wagon box.
Yes, the wagon box. There's a lot. I'm just skimming the surface for those who know those battles histories very well that are listening to me. So it's important to acknowledge it. And of course, up at the battlefield, they'll have a lot of outdoor festivities, acknowledgments of the anniversary dates this year. Yes.
I mean, it's incredible to think that if you head down to the museum right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but she had photos of people who were actually at the battle.
Yes.
It's incredible
Northern
to think it's that
Cheyenne,
recent.
Cheyenne, Lakota. Yes.
Yeah. There's one of the portraits. I mean, it's veterans, you know.
Northern Cheyenne.
Yeah.
Is what she titled it. Yes.
Absolutely amazing.
And the nice thing about Jessamine, and as her family went through all her photos, Jessamine kept a log and recorded everybody's names. And so we have the names with the photos, and her granddaughter, Tempe Javits, is the one with her family been working with to put up the photos and that the interpretive information. And Tempe did a lot of legwork with the Friends of the Little Bighorn Battlefield and things to make sure that the notes that she inherited do match up with the photos. So there's been a lot of conversation about that as well.
That's incredible.
So it's great to put it up to the public and for the share with the community. Yes.
How does it feel looking at one of those, at that photo, and see individuals who were there on that bloody day?
Well, it's good that someone took a moment, to take a photograph, because sometimes we just have maybe something that comes from a book, an oral history, and there's not much evidence, as in photos or an object. We have lots of bullet casings and things like that. But
in today's world, where everyone's got a camera,
I was just gonna say that. I mean, we all have a camera in our pockets.
Yes.
And I mean, at that time, those big Lang cameras, 8x10 glass negative, you know, I mean, you are intentionally setting something up.
Yes.
Intentionally setting something up. It's not just, you know, I mean, there's more photographs in Sheridan, Wyoming taken in one day than there ever was in 1926 in so the entire year.
Yeah.
You're right. You spend time with it.
Yeah.
And to be able to sit in front of that and look at individuals who played such a major role in history. It's absolutely amazing to me. I'm really looking forward to popping in and seeing those photos because I'm that type of guy who stands in front of it for 5 minutes because I want to look at every face, you know?
Right.
And I do that, you know, with a lot of exhibits, but to be able to look into the face of history itself, it really hits me in the chest. And another thing, why do you think the themes that are explored in Voices and Votes remain so relevant today?
Well, I have taken six middle schoolers through the exhibit, we start out with the archway that you walk through and you're taking the great leap of faith with democracy. Because as we know, the 13 colonies wanted to shift away from England's rule and taxation and all those things. And it is something that teeters back and forth with political ideas, people's concerns. And then at the end, we're with lobbying, petitioning, and protesting, but that is our beginnings of democracy. And sometimes that repetition is what is creating those changes. It's part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
But it evolves to the needs of the people.
And
yes.
And media.
And media. Yeah. When it depends on which way media goes. No offense.
None taken.
We always have to search out what media is telling us the story. What part of the story are they telling us? Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And today that can be very difficult to filter through.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to be able to go in there and see how, I think how strong and yet at the same time, how, I don't want to say like weak, but how fragile, that's the word I'm looking for. How strong and yet fragile democracy truly is.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think it's great for kids, middle school. I remember my middle school years. I know I was, you know, developed enough to be able to stand there and acknowledge all of that. I think it's fantastic to make middle school kids and maybe even younger go in there and really reflect on that and think about these things in today's world and how so many people have fought to give us this great opportunity and these freedoms.
Right. It's also interesting because we have that voting timeline and you're supposed to put your star with the first year that you voted, and they grasped that very quickly. And a lot of them have put the stars beyond the now because we have a now spot for 2026.
That's fun.
So, and that was not even introducing that as part of the tour because they had time by themselves to wander through at the end and they grasped it very quickly. Yeah.
Now, is there any exhibit that's up or incoming that we haven't spoke about yet?
No, the All-American Indian Days will go through the end of December for 2026, and then
Miss Indian America.
Yes, that was portion of it. So then we will start then building out the six exhibit areas throughout the winter through spring 2027. We might do something to fill in space if need be, but we're still working with our design fabrication team for that timeline. I'm in interpretive information as we speak with all the themes. So yes,
now
what's going on?
This is free admission, so I can grab the whole family.
Yes. Yep.
And we can spend a Saturday down there learning about these fascinating things. Chip, would you tell me the schedule? What's our open and close times right now?
Museum right now is Monday through Saturday, 10 to 5. Now, those hours are changing and going to be changing really quickly. This coming Sundays are going to be our very first Sunday that we're going to be open again.
Fantastic.
10 to 2. And so let's just say next week, it is Monday through Thursday, 10 to 5, Friday and Saturday, 10 to 6, and Sunday, 10 to 2.
Man, you guys are going to be busy.
That's what we're hoping. So. That's what we're hoping. Yes.
I mean, but you're charged. Yeah. You've worked so hard to get to this point.
Yeah.
And not even technically all the way set up as of yet, but this has got to be a breath of fresh air, being able to have people in, speak with them, take them through these exhibits. It's got to be amazing.
Yes.
Are we putting up a schedule or anything onto the website? And if so, how can folks find that?
Yeah, you can always, I mean, you know, for those that are on social media, you know, Facebook and Instagram, we'll have it on our website. We've got that real nice electronic board right out front. It'll post our hours on there as well. You can always call the museum and leave a voicemail. We do return the voice, you know, the voicemails. But, you know, go to museumbighorns.org. And, yeah, updated hours and everything will be on there. But, yeah, Monday through Thursday, 10 to 5, Friday, Saturday, 10 to 6, Sunday, 10 to 2.
I think this Sunday is a great day to go to the museum.
If you have family in town, or like Chip posted, this was a rainy weekend, it's a good day to go to the museum.
Perfect. I want to thank you guys so much for popping in. Whenever I get you in here, it seems like the time just flies right by, but that's a sign of a good conversation.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yes. Excellent.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Wyoming has a real choice for Congress. We can send another politician to Washington, or we can send Frank Chapman, a rancher, a businessman. Frank knows a thing or two about balancing a checkbook. Frank's no politician. He's a conservative fighter for people like us. Frank Chapman for Congress.
Frank Chapman lives Wyoming values. Hard work, straight talk, and Frank's never backed down from a fight. Chapman is a rancher, a father, not a politician. Frank Chapman is the conservative we need in Congress. That's why conservative groups like CPAC have endorsed Chapman.
I am blessed in that God put me in a place where I could succeed.
Frank Chapman is the fighter we need in Congress.
Frank Chapman, Wyoming rancher, American businessman. He'll seal the border, back our ICE agents, unleash American energy, defend your Constitution, and make America great again. Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming. Fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Remember those Uncle Sam posters that said, "We want you"? Well, Dalton's RV is looking for an RV technician to join their team. You'll be working in a state-of-the-art indoor work bays for RV repair, RV maintenance, and RV warranty work. You'll be making competitive play plus liberal bonuses. This is a broad field covering all aspects of RVs and motorhomes. Experience is preferred, but we will train. So like Uncle Sam said, we want you to apply in person at Dalton's RV Sales and Service, 274 Heartland Drive in Sheridan.
Some people golf, some people garden. You fish your bass off. Yep, it's that time of year again. And Mead Lumber and Camco Federal Credit Union want your photos. Fish your bass off and submit your photos for a chance to reel in $600 in prizes. Big fish, accidental stick catches, we want to see them all. Cast your line and post your pics on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com through Labor Day. Fish your bass off from Mead Lumber and Camco Federal